Okay, good morning, everyone. Today's Daf in the Nedarim is Mem Ches. We're going to be starting at the Mishnah, Mem Zayin Amud Beis, and the fifth parak of the Masechta. We're going to be Hamirtz Hashem, be finishing up today. It's a short parak, the really short parak, but the Mishnayos over here go over basically the parameters of a neder. You make a neder against somebody, so what exactly does that entail? What's included in the neder? What's not included in the neder? Okay, similar to what we discussed back in the fourth parak, but the, okay, fourth and fifth parak parakim of the Masechta are linked. So anyway, so the Mishnah over here starts off nice and simple. Ha'reini alecha cheirim. So what you do is you make the following declaration to a person, and you say, Alecha cheirim. I am to you a cheirim. Okay, so cheirim is an unusual term, but it's a form of neder. It's a form of making a neder. Now, the truth of the matter is it gets a little bit more involved because it really depends whether you live up in the north or down in the south. Okay, and I don't want to inundate everybody with more information, but but cheirim could be one of two things. Either it could be cheirim bedekabayis, or it could be cheirim kohanim. Okay, in other words, when you declare something to be a cheirim, it could either be something that just simply means that it's muktash lebeis hamikdash, or alternatively, it could just be gifts for the kohanim. Now, what did you mean when you say the word cheirim? It depends where you live, whether you live in the north or in the south. Okay, I know that's already a lot of information, but let's assume for our mission, the purposes of our mission over here, that we're talking up in the north. Up in the north, when you say the word cheirim, so you mean bedekabais. So you mean that basically it's hektish. Okay, in other words, it's kehektish. It's basically effectively saying the same thing as konam. In other words, it's going to be like a carbon. So over here, it's going to be like a cherem. And we're talking about cherem, meaning up in the north, where basically it's kehektish. So now, hamudar asar. So now, under those circumstances, the mudar is going to be asar. Again, in the formulation of a neder, there's going to be a madar, there's going to be a mudar. The madar is the one who's articulating and expressing the neder. And the mudar is the on the receiving end, meaning, obviously, he's a person of scorn, right? I don't want a relationship with him, meaning me and him are basically, we're done. And so I'm making a neder. Now, again, as we've said already numerous times, right, eventually we're all going to get it. Because, you know, I say it enough times, then we're all going to understand. And the neder could be made in one of two directions. In other words, what I could say is, he's not going to get benefit from me. Or I could also say is, that I'm not going to get benefit from him. It can go in either direction. So when you formulate it and you say the words, Hareini alecha cheirem, so now mudar's aser. So in other words, so now he can't get benefit from me. Alternatively, so hare at alai cherem, you are to me a cherem, so then hano der aser. So then the one making the neder is going to be aser. Okay, good. In other words, just basically working with basic grammar, so it becomes clear now how, using the words that you're affecting the neder, which direction it's going to go. Now hareini alecha v'at alai shneim asurim. Right, so, and then I could also go in both directions. In other words, I could say that I'm a cherem to you, you're a cherem to me, which means now that basically I'm not going to get hanah from you and you're not going to get hanah from me. And all that could be affected by one person. Good. Now, ushnei mutar b'davashol le'bavel. So, is there anything that they could use that they own in a partnership? So, already, this should hearken us back to what we did just a couple of days ago. The machlok is between the Chachamim and Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, whether or not we subscribe to Breira, we do not subscribe to Breira. So hold that particular thought. We're going to come back to that thought in just a moment. In other words, our mission over here is not going to make a single reference to that machlokas. So, but we're going to come back to that just momentarily. So if it's Davashal Ole Bavel, so then that would be mutter. So that would be permissible. However, turn to the top of Men Chesam and Alva, Asurim, but Davashal Oso Yir. But what they're going to be Asur is, those things that are in the city, that are owned by the city. Okay, so we're making the following distinction. Ole Bavel, that's fine, but it's Davishal Ir, so that's a partnership and that's not going to be fine. So I'll explain better in just a moment. Let me just read the Mishnah. So when it comes to Ole Bavel, so we're talking about basically those things that are totally public, like the Harabayas, like the Azaros of the Beis HaMikdash, like a big pit of water that's used for the Ole Bavel. So Ezo Davar Shalosa here, and those things which are shared by the members of the city, Kagon Rechava Merchatz Beis HaKnesses. Rechava is basically the main city thoroughfare. And Merchatz, of course, is the bathhouse, the city bathhouse. And the Beis HaKnesses, obviously, is the shul. And the Teva, that's basically what you and I call the Bima, and what we put the Sefer Torah on, and the Sfarim themselves. So we can't use all that. Okay, so I'm going to go backwards. In other words, let's talk about Dvarim Shel Ha'ir, right? The things of the city. So if I make a neder where I'm not going to be benefiting from you and you're not going to be benefiting from me, so then we can't use dvarim shel ir. Why not? So because those things are owned by both of us as in the form of a partnership. In other words, those things that let's say the shul, for example. Okay, let's take our shul for example. It could be any shul. It's not just our shul. So what's our shul? So our shul is jointly owned by every member of the shul. In other words, every member of the shul now is a partner in the shul. Okay, now I'm not speaking about the American legalities in terms of like how exactly is the shul owned and operated, and it's a nonprofit institution, and I'm not getting into those legalities. In other words, somebody who knows a lot better than me will speak to it. But I'm just simply saying, from the perspective of the Mishnah, a shul is basically a partnership, right? I contributed, you contributed, we all contributed to the shul. So that means to say that the shul now is jointly owned by you and I. So now, if I make a neder where I'm not going to be able to get hana from you, so using the shul now is going to be a violation of the neder because you are part owner of the shul. So by me using the shul, I'm going to be using parts of the shul that are owned by you. And same thing, in other words, if you use the shul, you're going to be now benefiting from me. So that's why the Mishnah says that if it's varm shul ir, anything that belongs to the city, which is jointly owned, it's viewed, everything in the city is viewed as a partnership, so that's going to be aser. Now, that's Dvarim Shel Ir. What about Ole Bavel? So Ole Bavel, so we're talking about major public institutions and edifices, like the Beis HaMikdash. Now, who owns the Beis HaMikdash? So here, when it comes to the ownership of the Beis HaMikdash, it's not viewed as a collective partnership in terms of the Beis HaMikdash. It's viewed as an entity into itself. Now, yes, in other words, what was the funding coming for the Beis HaMikdash? So obviously, it was coming from contributions made by people. But nevertheless, in terms of my relationship to the Beis HaMikdash, I am not considered a part owner in the Beis HaMikdash. And so, therefore, anything related to the Beis HaMikdash, and even those big well pits that are leading up to the Beis HaMikdash, that's part and parcel of the institution of the Beis HaMikdash. And so, therefore, we're not viewed as part owners, and that would not be a violation of the neder. So, in other words, for you and I to go to the Beis HaMikdash, that would be perfectly fine, because I'm not a shareholder, you're not a shareholder. So that would be perfectly fine. Good. So that's the distinction to be made between the Dvarim Shel Ole Bavel versus Dvarim Shel Ha'ir. Okay. Okay, good. Right, you're right. Correct. What Phil's pointing out is that maybe perfect. Right, maybe a good litmus test to see, like, whether or not this is a partnership, whether this is a, versus this is something which is a public entity, is whether or not you can sell it, you cannot sell it. Okay, I like what he's saying. Is that always going to be the case? Could be. Okay, anyway, good. So, we're almost done with the Mishnah. Just a little bit more to go. Va'kosev. Right, yeah, good. Va'kosev chelko lenasi. Yeah, let's finish up the Mishnah, and then we'll come back and we'll make a larger point. Va'kosev chelko lenasi. So, what you do now, the Mishnah over here is a little bit choppy. The Gemara is going to pick up on that. The Gemara is going to iron out the Mishnah. But basically, the next point of the Mishnah is going to be the following. Okay, so now I made a neder. I'm not getting benefit from you. You're not getting benefit from me. And now I'd like to go to shul. I'd like you to go to shul. Okay, so first of all, I have this wonderful idea, and that is don't make the neder to begin with. Okay, fine. Okay, that solution is, that's a complicated solution. So let's, I know I'm speaking a little sarcastically right now, but in other words, once we're here, once we are now having had made the neder, so what can you do? So what you can do now is that you can sign off on your shares. Okay, what you'll do is that you'll write your shares over to the Nasi. Right? We had a similar idea like this just a couple of Mishnayos ago. And basically what you now do is that if you give your possessions over to a third party, so now there's not going to be a violation of the neder. So over here, in other words, you have shares in the shul, write them over. Who are you going to write them over to? So you will transfer them over to the Nasi. Why the Nasi? I'll explain in just a moment. V'akosev chalko l'nasi, Rav Yehuda Omer, echad kosev l'nasi, v'echad kosev l'hejot. So bein kosev l'nasi, umma bein kosev l'nasi l'kosev l'hejot, shakosev l'nasi ein tzarech l'zakos, however l'hejot tzarech l'zakos. According to Rav Yehuda, look, in other words, to solve for the problem, meaning, I want to go to shul. Alternatively, I want you to go to shul. So, post neder, what can we do? So now, what we could do is that we could write over my shares to a nasi, And according to Rabbi Yehuda, it doesn't have to be a Nasi, it could be anybody. But the difference is that by a Nasi, you don't need to make a Kenyan. By somebody else, you do need to make a Kenyan. That's Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. V'chachamim omrim, no, echazev, echazev, tzrichon lezakos, and lo dibro benasi, ala behove. No, what are you talking about? In other words, you could write off your shares to a Nasi, you could write over to a Hedjot, and there's no difference between the two of them. And if you're going to write over your shares to a Nasi, of course you have to make a Kenyan. Meaning, you're a shareholder now. You want your shares to go to somebody else, you have to make a Kenyan. So according to the Chachamim, echazev echazev, in both circumstances you need a Kenyan. Why do we give the example of Nasi? Because that's typically the better example to be given. Okay. And Rabbi Yehuda Omer in Anshei Galat Srichem Lechtov. Now as far as Rabbi Yehuda, Shitas Rabbi Yehuda is concerned, Anshei Galat do not need to write over their portions to a Nasi. Why not? Shekvar Kasvu Avosem Ayedem, because it was already done by their ancestors. We're going to, that last line of the Mishnah, we're going to pick up on a little bit later on this morning. We'll come back to that last line of the Mishnah. Okay. Over here in our Mishnah, what did we just learn together? That if I make a neder, binding by this neder, an iser, that I'm not benefiting from you, and alternatively, you're not benefiting from me, so now any shared properties, any partnered properties are going to be prohibited. Good. Now, this is not much different than what we learned just a couple days ago here in this fifth perek. In other words, that now, as it relates to a partnership, so the partnership is going to be problematic. That's what we learned on the first Mishnah here in this fifth parak. However, can I remind everybody? It's a machlokas in the first Mishnah. Meaning, I'm just going back to 2 days ago in the Daf, right, 3 days ago. Right, Daf Memvav. I mean, the Mishnah really starts on Memhamud Beis, but okay. Anyway, and the Mishnah starts on Memhamud Beis, but the Mishnah basically told us that when you have properties that are shared partnership, so can I go on the shared properties, meaning me, a shareholder, can I go on the properties? So that's the machlokas between the Chacham and Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. And the Chachamim say no, and Rav Elazar ben Yaakov says yes. And hopefully we all remember, what's the svara behind Rav Elazar ben Yaakov? Breira. In other words, what we'll say is the following, is that when I'm going onto the shared property, so what am I doing? I'm going on to my property. Meaning this, basically, we're looking at this as a timeshare, meaning we both jointly own it, we both have shares in it, but with the understanding that sometimes you'll use it, sometimes I'll use it. And when I'm using it, I'm using the property. And when you're using it, you're using the property. But in other words, once you subscribe to the principle of Breira, and you say Yesh Breira, so then it would be fine. So what's happening in our Mishnah over here? So in our Mishnah over here, we're saying that if I make a neder, and via the neder now, I'm usher to you and you're usher to me, I can't go on joint property. Okay, good. Whose shita is that? That's the shita of the Chachamim. That's not the shita of Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. So it's a little bit strange that our Mishnah over here doesn't make a mention, not a word, about the opinion of Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. Okay, so the Ran over here writes that, you know what you're going to do with our Mishnah? Ignore what we just learned in our Mishnah. I know that sounds funny. The Ran says it. The Ran says ignore what we're learning in our Mishnah. Why? Because we learned just yesterday the halacha is like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, and that we do in fact subscribe to Breira in this regard. And so therefore, I can go on joint property. And so therefore, everything we just learned in the Mishnah, that's Aliba the Shita, the Chachamim, and Rav Elazar ben Yaakov doesn't subscribe to that. And because we pass like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, so we'll ignore everything we just said. Okay, needless to say, that's interesting, right? In other words, the Stama Mishnah would just be giving us a halacha that's not Aliba the Hilchasa. Okay, anyway, that's the Ran. This discussion goes much deeper. There's a Tosfos over here that says no. That he really believes that this Mishnah over here is according to everybody, and not just limited to Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov. See Tosfos for a couple of suggestions, solutions, in terms of how our Mishnah over here can be going even according to Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov. In fact, the Ran is so convinced that he's right, that he writes right here in our daf, he writes that I don't understand the Rambam, because what did the Rambam do? So a couple of Mishnahs ago, the Rambam paskins like, you guessed it, Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov. That was easy. The Gemara paskin like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. So the Rambam paskins like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. And when the Rambam cites our Mishnah, what does he do? He quotes our Mishnah. Halacha by our Mishnah. And so what the Ran says is, I don't understand the Rambam. In other words, he, on one hand, paskins like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, and then he quotes our Mishnah, and paskins like our Mishnah. How can he do that? Okay, good. Obviously, you know, the Rambam is of the position that our Mishnah over here is not limited to Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. Again, basically, whatever suggestion, solutions Tosfos is going to give, you'll apply that to the Rambam. Okay. We are at the Gemara. Good. Okay, yeah. So we are at the Gemara where Memchas and Aleph, after having finished the Mishnah, so Amai Mitzer. So I don't understand why is it Usser? Meaning, as I pointed out, the Mishnah gets a little bit choppy. Meaning the Mishnah gives us the impression that what you're going to do is that you are going to write off all your properties and possessions to the Nasi. So the Gemara's basic question is, well, why is it Usser? I'm Rav Sheshes, Hachi Ketani. Umatakanasam yichtivu chalkam lenasi. Ah. So the way, the proper understanding of the Mishnah is that basically the Mishnah is giving us now a way to solve for problem. Problem, I made a neder. And my neder now is prohibiting me benefiting from you and you benefiting from me. And now I can't go to shul and you can't go to shul. That's the problem. The next point of the Mishnah is, how do I solve for the problem? And the way we solve for the problem is that I'm going to write off my shares to the Nasi. Good. Okay. Next part of the Gemara, we're going to skip it. It's in parentheses. It's basically repeating what we already said. And we are after the parentheses. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Ein Anshei Galut Tzrichim Lazako Shekvar Kasu Avasem Al Yadeyem. Tanya. The Gemara is going to quote a brisa that is going to be a little bit more elaborative than what we saw in the Mishnah. And that is Rabbi Yehuda Omer Anshei Galut Kantarnin. People living up north, so they are cantankerous. Okay, yeah, I hope you appreciate the alliteration. It could be that the English word actually is following the Gemara's word. Regardless, in other words, they're difficult people. They fight all the time. And kantarnin hayu v'hayu nojin anazem izem. So and they would regularly make a neder one against the other. Okay, and neder is always reactionary. In other words, the person's upset. Right, I've had it with you. Good, and I'll emphasize that, and I'll put an exclamation point by making a neder. Okay, you're not going to get benefit from me. Alternatively, I'm not going to get benefit from you. However, I'm going to create the distance between me and you. Good. So that is so they would make a neder zemizeh. They would do that all the time, and so therefore I'm do avaseim and kasvu chalkeim lenasi. So in other words, so now what the patriarchs of Anshei Galut used to do is they basically said, look. Like, in other words, we'd love it if people didn't make nedarim. But apparently that's not even an option. That's not on the table. That's off the table. We're going to make nedarim. So it's a funny meeting that they had, the patriarchs of Anshei Galut. Look, in other words, our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, they're all going to make nedarim one against the other. We're hardwired to just have that kind of visceral reaction one against the other. Okay, we're that kind of people. Oh, but you know what, though? Here's what we'll do. At least we'll create a quasi-solution so that people can go to shul. And what we'll do is that basically what we'll do is that we'll, all the shares that people have in the shul, so we're just going to write them over to the Nasi. Interestingly, by the way, they're doing it not only for their generation, they're doing it for future generations as well. Okay. I'll ask the question. I mean, it's clear from the Gemara, the answer is yes, but you can do that. In other words, you can not only write your shares, but future shares of the shul. You're going to be able to basically assign them now to a third party, in this case, the Nasi. You can assign that for future generations as well. It sounds like from the Mishnah, the answer is yes. Okay, I didn't know you could do that. In other words, had I not had the Mishnah, I would have guessed, and incorrectly, I'd add, I would have guessed that you can't do that. You can't sign off your shares for future generations. Okay. Anyway. Okay, so what do we have over here in Mishnah Memchas? Now this Mishnah coming up, which is really going to be the rest of today's daf. So this Mishnah was already foreshadowed a couple days ago, back in the fourth parak of the Masechta, and here we are now in the Mishnah that I promised that we saw earlier, just about a week ago. Anyway, Hamudar Hana Mechaver Veilo Mashiyochal Nosno Leacher Lushamatana. So the first line of the Mishnah is really just a setup. Information that we already knew, and that is that I made a neder against somebody, he can't get benefit from me, and now I see that he's hungry. So what can I do? So I can take the food, give it to another person, as a matana, as a gift, and then that person can then go ahead and give the mudar the food. This is what's called indirect benefit. Indirect benefit is fine. We knew that already. The Mishnah is not giving us new information. What the Mishnah is really doing now is setting us up for the remainder of this Mishnah. Maisa be'echa be'beis charon. So there was a story in Beis Charon. Some town in Eretz Yisrael. Shaya aviv noder heimenu ana'a. So what happened is the following. The, So the father made a neder that he's not going to get benefit from his son. Okay. So unfortunately now, not only are we describing cantankerous people and people who are making nedarim one against the other, but within the family, father, son. It's unfortunate, obviously. But the father made a neder that he's not going to get any benefit from his son. And now from this point going forward, we'll call the father Zaidi, because as we're going to see, we're now already up to the third generation. So what happened is as follows. So the Hayamasi Esbeno. So the middle generation is now making a chasna for his son. Now he'd love it if his father would be able to come to his son's wedding. But the problem, of course, is that the father made an eder. And the father is not allowed to get benefit from the son. Right? The son is obviously, and I say the son, by the way, I'm meaning the Baal Simcha. Meaning the one who's making the wedding. The middle generation. Okay, good. So the middle generation now is making a chasna for his own son, but now his own father can't go to the wedding because of the neder that was created. Okay, that's the problem. Okay, in other words, and again, by the way, the easiest solution would have, of course, been had the father not made a neder. But once again, we're past that point already. So now the father is here in the neder, and now he can't go to his grandson's wedding, because he's not allowed to get any benefit from his son. Okay, that's the problem. So the solution? Okay. We all should know it already, and whether or not it's a valid solution. Amar lechavero. So now, what the middle generation did is the following. He went over to his friend, and he said, so the chatzar and the suud and the sunim, hinan lefanecha. Okay, question of what the correct gears is over here, but anyway. So the... So here, look, I have a problem, right? The one making the wedding, it says now to his friend, and that is, I'd love my father to join and participate in the suda, but he can't get benefit from me. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to gift you the entire wedding, the hall, the food. I'm going to gift you the entire wedding. I'm going to transfer ownership of the entire wedding over to you so that my father can go ahead and eat by us. So, is that valid or not valid? So, over here, obviously, this is subterfuge, obviously. In other words, what he's doing over here is basically he's creating a shell corporation so that what his father can do now is his father can go ahead and come to the wedding. Okay. Is such a subterfuge going to be acceptable, yes or no? So, this is exactly what the Mishnah here is going to be dealing with. The Mishnah says, Amar. So his friend says, oh, really? Everything now belongs to me? I want to be makdish everything. So to which the Baal Simcha says, no, slow down. What's wrong with you? Amar lo. So he says to him, Nasati lacha eshali shetaktishim l'shamayim. What do you think? You think I gave it to you so that you could be makdish it? So Amar lo, Nasati l'shalcha. So his friend said, well, I know what you're trying to do. You're trying to give me the food and the wedding hall so that your father can come. But in other words, it's not a real gift. Had it been a real gift, so then me, the recipient of this gift, would be able to do whatever I want with it. But you're not giving it to me as a gift. You're just doing it in order to circumvent the neder. And over here, it's not valid. Meaning the only way that it works is that if the matana is a genuine matana, you really transferred it over to me. And then on my own, if I want to decide to go ahead and have the wedding and invite your father, fine. But you know what? If it's really mine, I could do with it whatever I want. And Amru Chachamim, and here we have the line of the day. We had already a couple, but Amru Chachamim called matana she'ino. She'imigdisha te'imigdesha te'ina matana. You want the definition of a matana? The definition of a matana is very simple. In other words, if I'm given something where I could be makdish it, it's a matana. If I can't be makdish it, it's not a matana. A matana allows me to do with whatever I want with the item. And as a result of the fact that I can't go ahead and do whatever I want with it, by definition, it's not a matana. And so therefore, all you're doing is just trying to circumnavigate and create a subterfuge so your father can come. But it simply doesn't work because a matana has to be a matana. It must be a genuine matana in order for your father to be able to come and eat by me. Okay. On that last line of the Mishnah, the Ran has a slightly different girsa. It may be significant, it may not be significant. Fine. So what did we just learn? So we finally learned the Mishnah shall base Chalron. Meaning the Mishnah here on Memches, right? In Nedarim, this is a fundamental Mishnah over here in terms of what are the limits of avoiding and circumventing a neder, and that is gifting it to somebody else. Yes, that's true. Gifting it to somebody else is a way of circumnavigating the neder, but it has to be a genuine gift. If it is not a genuine gift, so then you have not successfully circumnavigated the neder. How do I know it's a genuine gift? If the recipient of the gift could be makdishit, then it's genuine. If he can't be makdishit, so then it's not genuine. Good. That's the mission that we're learning here on Daf Memches. Wonderful. Okay. I'll ask the question. I'll try to give the answer. It's a really difficult question. Okay. We've learned together, right? The Gemara in Baba Basra, Kuf Lamed Zayin. I'm looking at the Ran, by the way. I wish I had Bikias. I could have said it off the top of my head. Anyway, the Ran quotes it over here. And that is that what do we all know? Matana Manas Lahachzir. So we know that if I give you a gift, but with the condition that you must return it to me, so this is what's in halacha referred to as a matana manas lahachzir. And what is that called in halacha? That's called a matana. That's called the gift. Right? Famously, everybody knows this. First day of Sukkot, where I need to be owning my own lulav. So, and I don't, for whatever reason, I don't have my own lulav. So what can I do? I can go to my friend and say, look, I need a lulav. It's the first day of Sukkot. So what do we do? Matana manas lahachzir. I'm going to give you my lulav as a gift, so that becomes yours, but on the condition that you return it to me. And oh, by the way, the Gemara is very clear, meaning if you don't return it, you have failed on the Tanai, therefore the Matana retroactively is not a Matana, and therefore you haven't fulfilled the mitzvah of lulav on the first day. Good.
I always send them to Rabbi Sugar.
God bless you. God bless you. So I fully endorse that. So, but anyway, Matana Manas Lahachzir is in fact a Matana. So now, if you're given Matana Manas Lahachzir, can you be Makdishit? Of course the answer is no. In other words, Matana Manas Lahachzir means that as part of the condition of the gift, I must return it to you in the same condition that it was given to, that I got it from you. And so therefore, Matana Manas Lahachzir, I can't be Makdishit. And so, the question is really simple, and that is, how does Matana Manas Lahachzir work? Meaning, we learned in our Gemara over here, that a matana is only going to be considered matana if the recipient can do whatever he wants, including being makdishit. And meanwhile, by matana manas lahachzir, so the matana is only going to be good if I return it to you in the same condition, meaning that the recipient cannot be makdishit. And how in the world does matana manas lahachzir work? Okay. It's a really difficult question, meaning I'll ask it. The Ran asks this question, meaning it's not my question. The Ran asks this question. The Ran does try to suggest a distinction to be made between Matana Manas Lahachzir versus our Matana over here. Okay, and this is a much discussed topic, right? Baruch Hashem. So I've heard a shiur or two on this topic of Matana Manas Lahachzir. And so everyone attempts to give voice and an explanation in terms of why our Gemara, today's daf, only views a matana to be good if the recipient has the ability to do whatever he wants. And meanwhile, matana manas lahachzir works. Okay, so for our purposes today, meaning when you walk out of shir today, so in other words, as far as what the answers are to that question, there are many. Okay, the Ran also tries to give an answer. It's hard. It's a hard question. But when you walk out of today, so know two things. And even though they're not perfectly compatible, but know two things. One, the definition of a matana, that's today's daf, right? Nedar memches. The definition of a matana is that the recipient can be makdishit. If the recipient cannot be makdishit, it's not a matana. And also know that a matana manas lahachzir works. That a matana that's given to me, but only for a short amount of time. And I must return it. If I don't return it, it's not a matana. So that works as well. Those two statements, they're not perfectly compatible. Okay. That's a shir. And I know we're giving shir right now, but in other words, but that's shir. But in terms of the conclusions, those are two valid conclusions. We are on Memches Amud Aleph, and we're right immediately after the Mishnah. Meaning otherwise known as the Gemara. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. Right? The first line of the Mishnah says that you give it as a gift and problem solved. And then, what does the Mishnah then do? Tells us a story where giving of the gift and the problem is not solved. So what just happened over here? We have a stira within the Mishnah. The Gemara says, no, it's not a stira. Chesur emechzer v'hachi ketanivim hochiach sofa al tchilas ha'asar u'maisa nami bebeis choron be'echad. the have a sofa mechiachat chilaso. So the Gemara explains very simply. There is no steer in the Mishnah. Meaning the Mishnah is basically saying if the gift is a full-fledged gift, you're good. But once there are strings attached to the gift, that's not a gift. Meaning that in the story of Beis Charon, obviously there were strings attached. How do I know there were strings attached? Very simple. Because the recipient said, can I be makdish it? And the gifter said, no, you can't be makdish it. That's not why I gifted it to you. Oh. So once the string's attached, it's not a gift. And since it's not a gift, therefore, it's not a valid way of circumventing the neder. It's easy. Amarava. So now, what we're going to look at is two languages of Rava, two Lashonos of Rava, in which basically we're going to try to modify when is it valid and when is it not valid. Meaning, what exactly is going to have to be the formula? Meaning, let's go back to Maisa Beis Charon and the Mishnah Beis Charon. And what exactly is going to be the language that will be valid versus invalid? So the first version of Rava, Amar Rava, Lo Shanu Elo Da Amar Lei, and again, the gears over here is a little bit choppy, but V'inam Lefanecha L'Kideshi Avo Abba. Avo Amar Lei, Shiyu Lefanecha Shei Avo Abba. So, Mi Da'atcha Hu Da Amar Lei. So if I say that I'm gifting it to you only so that my father can come, right, X, meaning no good. But if I say I'm gifting it to you and, right, I'm gonna just reread the line of the Gemara. Shiyu lefanecha sheyavo abba. I want to say it as precisely as I can. Not that I'm gifting it to you only so that my father can come, but I'm gifting it to you and my father would come, right? In other words, and I'm not making it like a contingency. I'm not making it like conditional. So then it would be fine. So in the first version of Rava, as long as the formula in which I'm saying the gift is that I'm only gifting it to you for one reason only, so that my father can come, that would be where you've crossed the line in terms of it's not a gift and therefore it's not valid. But if I don't say it in such a language, even though it's pretty well understood, you know why I'm gifting it to you? I'd like my father to come. But as long as I don't connect those two dots so clearly, so then it would be fine. That's version number one. Version number two says a little bit stronger, or a lot stronger. Lishna achrina amrin lein. Amar Rava. Lo tema taima damar lei v'inan lefanecha hu da'asar. Aval amar lei hein lefanecha she'avo abba v'yochal. Mutter ela afilo amar lei hein lefanecha yavo abba v'yochal. Asar. My time is udas mochechas alav. Once I say I'm gifting it to you, and then I also add in the sentence, and my father will come. Meaning, even if I don't say, so that my father will come. Meaning, I'm gifting it to you, and oh, by the way, right? When my dad comes, can you make sure, you know, he has a seat? In other words, once I put dad in the sentence, at that point in time, we are now in the world of illegal subterfuge. Meaning, this is just a way of circumnavigating the neder. And as a result of that, simply, no good. No good. It won't work. So in the second lashon of the Gemara, even if my language is not super clear that I'm doing this so that, nevertheless, it's still going to be a violation of the neder. Because the gift is not really a gift. Okay. We're on the Amud base. How will Gavad Avale Brei, Dave Shame Kipe Dekidna? Okay, so there was a man who had a son. And as far as the son is concerned, the son was not, right now, the best of children. In fact, he was a thief. He stole flax. Okay. Okay. Yeah, well, just reporting it as presented over here. So fine. So in other words, Havi Shami keep it to kidna. Fine. Asrila nichse alaha. So at that point in time, like he didn't want his son to inherit his assets. So what he did is he created an isser. In other words, via neder, all of his possessions should be asked to his son. Now, the Ran, by the way, over here says the same thing that he said just yesterday, and that is that via the Isser, you can't stop the Yerusha, meaning that after the father dies, all the assets are going to go to his son. However, via the Neder, you know what you can do? You can render them valueless. In other words, now that the son is, now that the assets are all going to be ushered to the son via Neder, so that neder continues even after he dies. Hopefully you remember that was yesterday's daf, that was yesterday's discussion. So now when the son inherits it all, so to him now, it's all these assets, but to him it's going to have a value of zero. Okay, fine. That's not the point of all this. The point of all this is the next step. Amru Levi Yave Bar Beret Sorbim Rabban Amai. Okay, look. Right now, your son is a little bit off the derech. Fine, and I'm being gentle. But your son right now is off the derech. Okay, but that's just your son. In other words, you got the next generation after that. You never know, right? We'll go back to Malachim, right? Where Chizkiyahu was told that he was going to have a son. He knew through Nevuah that his son was going to be no good, which in of itself is philosophically challenging. But anyway, so he knew. So he refused to have the son. And the Navi said to Chizkiyahu, look, that's not your problem. In other words, you have a mitzvah to have children, you have children. And how your sons turn out, that is simply not your issue. In other words, your mitzvah is to have children. And look, and you don't know what the future will bring about anyway. And in other words, and grandchildren, great grandchildren. So same thing over here. So over here, they said to the guy, look, your son currently is off the derech, but there's a generation after that. Your grandson might be a Talmid Chacham. Okay, so Amar Levi Ava Bar Beret Sur Mirabban Amai. So Amar Lahun Likne Hadain Yave Bar Beret Sur Mirabban Likne. So he said like this. Okay, so how about this? Right now, currently, the neder is going to take effect. But if later down the road, after I die, so if I have a grandson, so what I'm going to do now is I'm going to effect a kinyan, so that my son will acquire it, so that my grandson can acquire it. Okay. So I'm going to do basically a derivative kinyan. A kinyan to create a kinyan.
But is it Snyder, no? Is it Snyder?
Right, correct. Meaning only if I do have a grandson, correct. If I have a grandson.
A grandson who follows the right path.
Correct. Agreed. Now, as far as the Gemara's focus right now is concerned, can I do that? Can I make a kinyan to effect a kinyan? That's going to be the Gemara's question, and that's where we're going to end off today's daf discussing. So, the Gemara wants to know now: is this okay? Is this acceptable? Can I make a kinyan to make a kinyan? So, Amri Pumbadisa. So, Kini Amanas Laaknosu V'chol Kini Amanas Laaknosu Kani. So, in Pumbadisa, meaning in the yeshiva over there, they said no. In other words, what you could do is you can make a kinyan, but what you cannot do is that you cannot make a kinyan. So to make a kinyan, meaning this double kinyan, where one person is going to acquire, but only so that the second beneficiary is going to acquire, you can't do that. In other words, that simply that stretches the limits of kinyanim. So that's Pumbadisa. Rav Nachman Amar Kini. So Rav Nachman says, what are you talking about? Of course it works. And Rav Nachman says, and how do I know that it works? So he says, I'll tell you very simply. Da sudra kini amnas aknasu, because let's take a look at the kinyan sudra. I'm going to sell you an item. I'm going to sell you property. So there are many ways in which one can effect the sale. And so when it comes to property, let's right in the example of property. So how can property be transferred over? So kesef, shtar, chazaka, three ways in which property can be affected. The transfer of property can be affected either with money or with a document or with a chazaka or with a proprietary act. Okay, good. That's the Mishnah Kedushin. What you can also do is you can make a kinyan sudra. Kinyan sudra is like it's like ubiquitous. It's like a universal way of creating a kinyan, and that is. And we all know kinyan sudra. We do it on Pesach with our rabbi. In other words, when we appoint him to sell our chametz, so what we do is we do a kinyan sudra, right? He gives us an item, right? It is a ceremonial act. He gives us an item. We take the item when we hand it back to him. And now, and what we've done in that way is that we have appointed him to go ahead and sell the chametz on our behalf. Good. Suda just simply means a handkerchief. It could be of anything. Okay.
Sudar.
Okay. So good. So you could use now a kinyan suda. So now, what is a kinyan suda? So basically, what's happening is the following. So I'm handing this to you. It's an item that has minimal value. In fact, the Gemara in Bava Metzia, if I remember correctly, has a discussion whether it even has to have a Shava Pruta. Okay, that I don't remember so clearly. It doesn't, whatever. I'm going to give you something. I'm holding right now a hot cup in my hand, a hot cup that has nothing left in it, because of course the coffee doesn't last. So then what happens is that I hand it over to you. And now with that transfer, you know what happens? So now you get the property. Okay, good. So Rav Nachman says, so what is that? That's a kinyan to create a kinyan. Now, hopefully you're wondering to yourself right now, that's not a perfect analogy, right? That's a funny analogy. It is a kinyan to create a kinyan. But in other words, but really, this is more symbolic. In other words, when I'm doing a kinyan sudar, meaning to ratify the fact that I'm selling you the property, I'm handing this stuff over to you and you're taking it from me, it is not exactly what we're discussing over here. Meaning we're discussing is, I want all my assets to go to my grandson, if he's on the straight and narrow, if he's on the derech. And right now, the way to do it is that, if at a later point in time, right, my son who's off the derech has a son who's on the derech, so I'm going to create a kinyan for my son, so that my grandson will go ahead and acquire it. It's not the same as the sudar. And the Gemara makes exactly that point. In fact, the Gemara says it very clearly. I'm Rav Ashi, Uman Leimelon, the Sudra, Yitafis Leilo Mitfas. So first of all, when it comes to the Sudra, in other words, when the rabbi hands you a pen, so can you keep it? Yeah, you can. you can keep it. Right, correct. There's an expectation that you give it back to him. But anyway, so he tough as well midfist. So that's number one. And number two, besudra kini amanas lahakno. So kini minashta. So and also with the sudra, you know that with the property, it's not step one, step two. Step one, sudar. Step two, then I acquire the property. No. In other words, with the sudar comes the property. So halay nechsin adain lemasai kane lebe lechihave barbreit subrevan lechihave hadasudra lamare, and in the case of the barbrei, meaning in the grandson case, that's at a later point in time. Okay, so it's really not comparable. So amalei revel Rav Nachman vaMatana beis Charon kani amanas lachnosu and loka kani. And in fact, now the Gemara says, and the obvious question, why are we discussing this? Now we're discussing it now because of our Mishnah. Meaning in our Mishnah, it's kini amanas lahaknos. Meaning, what happened when the guy who wanted his father to come to his kid's wedding? So what he did is that he transferred all the food and the hall over to his friend so that his friend would go ahead and transfer it to his father. Okay? So it's kini amanas lahaknos. And what did we learn in our Mishnah? It doesn't work. So the Gemara says, once again, that's not a good point. So Amrlei Mishum Desuda Muchechas Alav. So he says, no, the failure in our Mishnah is not because it's Kini Amanas Lahaknos. That's not the point of failure. The point of failure is that the whole reason why he did it is only to circumnavigate the neder, and it doesn't work because the matana has to be a val matana. So Zimnim. Okay, good. So the Zimna Namarle Mishum Desuda Muchechas Alav. So one consideration is that exactly. And meaning in our Mishnah, the failure in our Mishnah has nothing to do with Kini Amanas Lahaknos. It has to do with the fact that I'm just gifting it to so that my father can come eat the meal. That's number one. And Zimna Namarle, and sometimes he says to him, Rebbe Lazar Yerafilo Vitor, Aser Bemuda Harna. Now, it took me a while to wrap my head around this next point of the Gemara, and when I say wrap my head around it, meaning I just read the Ran. But the Ran writes as follows, meaning this is no relevance to our discussion right now, it just happens to be the following. What do we know? We know, we learned this already before, and that is that, let's say I make a neder, right, where somebody can't get benefit from me, so can he cut through my backyard? I'm letting everyone else cut through my backyard, so can this guy cut through my backyard? And according to Rabbi Eliezer, the answer is no. But it's vitor. In other words, it's something that I'm totally fine letting other people do. Yeah, but when it comes to nedarim, the answer is no. No. In other words, I made a neder, he's not getting benefit from me. Even the things that I let other people do, he can't do. What do you see? So the Ran writes, what you see over here is that when it comes to nedarim, the threshold of nedarim is much higher. Right? There's a higher sensitivity when it comes to nedarim. He can't walk through my yard even though other people can. So over here in our Mishnah, Kini Amanas Lahaknos works. Let's say it works. In our Mishnah, didn't work? Yeah, because we're talking about Nedarim. Nedarim is just simply a higher sensitivity. It's a higher threshold. Oh, okay, good. So, Tanan. Amru Chacham in Kol Matana Sheinu, Shei Mekdisha Tei Mekdisha Tei Matana, Kol Lasui Mai, La Lasui HaMilsa Deshajah Bekipeng. We're looking at that last line of the Mishnah. The last line of the Mishnah says, you know what a Matana is? A Matana is where a recipient can do whatever he wants with it. That is a matana. That's the definition of a matana. transfer, valid transfer means that the recipient has the option to do whatever he wants with it. So, kini amanasa haknos. It can't work. Because why? Kini amanasa haknos. Can I do whatever I want with it? No. I'm only given the transfer so that it then will go to a second beneficiary. Right? It seems to be a really strong point. The Gemara says, nah, lo. Lasuri lishna basra dishmaita de rava. The Gemara says, no. The last line of the Mishnah was there to give voice to the second version of Rava. What do I mean, second version of Rava? What we saw earlier this morning. Meaning, Rava said, what exactly is going to be the formula that's going to knock out the transfer? So, in the second version, once you say, I'm giving you over the food, and I add also, and my father should come to the wedding, and even though I don't make it as like a if then, right? If I give it to you, then my father will, in other words, even if I don't do that, as long as I say, here, the chasna is all yours, the food is all yours, the whole is all yours. And then I say, and oh, by the way, I'd love it if dad would come. Once you do that, that's it. You negated the transfer. That's the reason why we have that last line of the Mishnah. The last line of the Mishnah was just simply to give voice to the second version of Rava. Probably the Gemara said second version of Rava. The first version of Rava is very, it's not as sharp. It doesn't have that big a chiddush. The second version of Rava is a much bigger chiddush. Good. That's why we had the last line of the Mishnah. And as a result of that, so it doesn't really speak to our issue of kini amanas lahaknas. Ha'adron alach ha'shutfin. And that is the end of the daf. That's the end of the fifth parak. Mirtz Hashem tomorrow. We start the sixth parak of the Masechta. Quick recap for today. So if you make a neder where you're not going to get benefit from him and he's not going to get benefit from you, so anything which is jointly owned, partnership owned, is in fact going to be aser. Okay, our Mishnah over here seems to be going against the Shita of Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, who subscribes to Breira. So the Ran makes this point, and the Ran says that you can ignore our Mishnah because we pass like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. And then as we pointed out, the Rambam doesn't agree with that. The Rambam thinks that our Mishnah is la halacha. And then what you're going to have to do is make a distinction between our Mishnah and then what we learned just a couple days ago, the opening Mishnah of the fifth parak of the Masechta. Good. And then if I want to indirectly benefit, that would be fine. Indirect benefit would mean that I would have to take something and gift it to somebody else. And then the mudah can go ahead and receive it from the third party. That would be fine. That's indirect. But if I'm gifting it only so that person can benefit from it, so that's subterfuge, that is illegal, and it renders the gifting null and void. It nullifies the gift. And what we got in today's daf is the famous story of Maisa Bebeis Charon, where a man was making a wedding for his son, but at the same time his own father, bound by neder, cannot get benefit from him, so he tried to gift the entire food and whole over to somebody else so that his father can come. Mishnah says, no good. No good. In other words, the gift is not a gift because the recipient of the gift cannot do whatever he wants with it. Okay, good. As part of today's discussion, a couple of things. Number one, how is this any different than Matana Manasa Hachzir? The Gemara doesn't ask that question, but the Ran does. And the Ran gives an answer. And as I mentioned, very difficult. That's a very difficult topic to try to wrap our heads around. But that's part and parcel of today's daf. And finally, the Amud Beis of today's daf. The Amud Beis of today's daf goes over Kini Amanas Lahaknos, where I want to make a kinyan, but the kinyan I'm making is only so that there would be a second beneficiary. So can I do that? Can I make such a kinyan? Machlokas Amarayim. Rav Nachman thinks that Sudar is in fact going to be a good test case that you can do that. And what the Gemara ultimately ended up saying is, nah, not a good test case. But nevertheless, Rav Nachman says you can do it.